God good? And don't you love him? Hadn't he been good to you? And aren't you glad they let you in? My God is so very good. And in the midst of a lot of trouble and turmoil, this is the most exciting day to be a part of the kingdom of God. Be in prayer for our young people that are going to be going down and exporting some revival down in Columbiana on Friday evening. And they'll be singing and worshiping, and Brother Dawson will be preaching, and it's just going to be a great, great time of revival. And we're excited about kids that know how to have church and have a desire to influence others, to draw close to God in a very dynamic and a very powerful way. And can you say amen? Tonight we're going to work a little in Matthew chapter 24. And we've had a Holy Ghost interruption here. He always does that and just messes up our bulletin and our agenda and all of that. And we're glad about it, and we want him to every time. And so we'll just work on this. We're making our way through the New Testament here. And in the book of Matthew, the last time we were together on a Wednesday evening, we were working in the 23rd chapter. I want to read a verse or two out of the 23rd and then into the 24th chapter, Matthew 23 and verse 37. And then we'll go down into chapter 24. Isn't it interesting that our president and Netanyahu were meeting just this week, and that the Middle East is just as fiercely embroiled as it's ever been? Touch somebody by you and tell them Israel is back. After 2,000 years, Israel is back. You know, you'd have to have your head in the sand not to know that. And the Bible told us that in a very miraculous way. And we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. But prophecy is coming to pass all around us at a furious pace. And we are drawing close to the main event, which will be the return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Matthew 23 and 37. Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And that is such a miserable pronouncement. Such a terrible thing. The lights are out. The doors are open. The wind is howling through. There's no joy. There's no laughter. But it's a desolate house. I tell you, God does things right. God's invention is the home and the family and marriage and children. And the greatest joy you get is walking in concert with the Word of God and the plan of God. But here, these His people, their house is left desolate. And he says in 39, I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Chapter 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. These gentlemen were all from Galilee, and it was a thoroughly blue-collar area. And they were fishermen, and they were tradesmen. And they, I don't know if any of them had ever even been to Jerusalem, and they were astounded at the temple and all of the governmental complex there that Herod had built and the Romans had invested in. And they were just showing Jesus all these marvelous buildings. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. God bless you. You can be seated if you love his word. Let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We magnify you and we lift you up and we thank you. You're so very, very good to us. We want to give you all the praise for it tonight. And everybody said amen. Praise God. And so in the midst of their admiration for all of these man-made structures, the opulence and the beauty of it, this is the rebuilt temple of Zerubbabel. And it has lasted for these 400 years and down into the time of Christ. But Jesus foretells them of the day that Titus is going to come in and he's going to destroy Jerusalem and destroy the temple. That will happen 40 years after he utters these words. Completely levels the city, destroys the temple, and about the only thing that was left standing was the wall that you see now in Jerusalem that is known as the Wailing Wall. And this is a moment of separation. God is walking away from Israel, and he won't see them again in covenant relationship for almost 2,000 years. And that is an event that has yet to take place, and we are looking forward to it. We're looking forward to the coming of the Lord. And I'm just telling you tonight, just as sure as Jesus spoke these words and Jerusalem fell, and if you had gone back after a season of time, you would have found not one stone upon another. I'm wanting to tell you now, your favorite Walmart, your favorite bank, your favorite tourist attraction, there is nothing in this world that's going to stand. There's nothing here that you just go ahead and make your plans. Your house is not going to stand. Not your physical dwelling that you live in. But your house can stand. And your collective house of God can stand. But you need to know tonight that there is no stability. Nothing of permanence in this world. And I heard a statistic today that somewhere around 78% of Americans polled believe that the economy is about to collapse. I mean, absolutely collapse. That is an amazing statistic. It has never been quite like that, with the exception of maybe the latter part of the Roaring Twenties and the time of the Great Depression. And so there are a lot of people that are expecting some really bad things to take place. But the Word of God has already orchestrated it and told you and forecasted it. And what you need to do is get in league with God and get over on the winning side of the whole discussion. And understand that in the end time, the church is saying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. No, your response needs to be, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I love my job, but I'm ready to go. I love living in America, but I'm ready to go. I love what we've been doing down here, but I'm ready to go. And there can't be anything here that you love so dearly that when you think about his coming, you're a little bit sad. Can't be like that. You've got to love, the apostle says he's coming back for those that love his appearing. Well, praise the Lord. So he tells them everything here is coming down. Now, Jesus at this point is standing in a city that was totally destroyed and rebuilt. And this according to the prophecy of Isaiah. Is it John? Okay. John, Isaiah chapter 11. And starting in verse 10. And I'm going to help you a little bit with verse 10. 11 and 12 are pretty explicit. But verse 10 is a time stamp scripture. It lets you know when the following scriptures are going to take place. But this is prophecy from Isaiah in the 7th century, over 600 years, around 600 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. This is talking about Jesus Christ coming to the earth, which shall stand for an ensign or a signal of the people. And to it the Gentiles shall seek. And his rest shall be glorious. The rest that he's talking about there is the Holy Ghost that you receive tonight. They used to get rest one day a week, and it was centered around the Sabbath day. But in the New Testament, you get rest 7 days a week, 24 hours a day in the Holy Ghost. It is the rest of God come to dwell within you. This is talking about Jesus Christ and the pieces of information that let you know that it's talking about the church age. It'll stand for an ensign or a flag, a banner to the people or the nations, and to it shall the Gentiles seek. Now, this is a Jewish prophet, and he's prophesying to the nation of Israel, and they don't believe Gentiles can get anything. And there are indications through the Old Testament that God is going to open the door to the Gentiles, but it doesn't happen until the church age, or what Jesus would call the time of the Gentiles. And so this verse 10 is talking about the time of the Gentiles, or the time of Jesus Christ. Now watch what's going to happen in that day, or in the time of the Gentiles. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again. How many times? The second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and Egypt and Pathros and Cush and Elam and Shinar and Hamath and from the islands of the sea. Where are the Jews scattered? All over the world. All over the where. They're everywhere. They're scattered to the islands of, and don't you, isn't that true? Don't you find Jewish settlements throughout the history book in Warsaw and in Venice and in Sevilla, Spain, and just anywhere you go, you're going to find a little colony of Jewish people that never did fully assimilate into their surroundings or into the culture that they landed in, but God scattered them all over the world according to the word of Moses. Way back in Deuteronomy 28, he said, if you don't obey me, I'm going to scatter you all over the world. You're going to be sold into slavery, and it's going to be so bad that you'll be on the slave block and nobody will buy you. What utter humiliation to be sold as a slave, but nobody will buy you. That was Moses back in the Pentateuch, back in the days of his writing in Deuteronomy. And now Isaiah is saying that it's actually going to come to pass. God's going to scatter them all over the earth. And he's going to do it twice. Everybody say twice. God's going to scatter Israel twice. This is remarkable because as Isaiah is speaking this in the power of the Holy Ghost, they had never been scattered once. There is not another people group in the earth that have been displaced like the Jews have, that have ever come back to have their own autonomous nation and culture and system like the Jews have. And the Jews have done it twice. And they've done it twice because the word of God propelled them out into that world and gathered them back again. And there's nothing like this in all the world. And there's nothing like this in all the history. And the Quran doesn't have anything like this. And no other pursuit of spiritual things has anything as staggering as this. Because tonight you can take a flight to New York and you can get on, Israel. Official airline, and you can fly into Tel Aviv or into Jerusalem, and they were not there for 2,000 years, but they are back because God sounded a sound in the heavens and he began to draw them back from all over the earth. Now Isaiah said it's going to happen twice, and at the time of Isaiah it had not happened once. But the first will be the Babylonian and the Assyrian captivity. The 10 tribes from Assyria never do return fully. They don't. But Judah comes back from Babylon after a 70-year captivity. Verse 12, John, and he shall set up an ensign or a banner for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This is very plain. This is not done in a corner. And as you look at your newspaper, or as you're standing in your office, or as you're standing at your cubicle or on your job, and there's a newspaper there and Israel is on the headlines, or they've got the picture of Netanyahu and President Obama standing there together, you need to tap that paper by your friend or your coworker, and you need to say, what you're looking at is prophecy fulfilled. What you're looking at is something that was impossible, but the word of God laid claim to it and made it possible. I want you to understand tonight that if you have an impossible situation in your life, this word of God is full of examples of God's great deliverance, and you don't have to believe that anything can be impossible. Somebody say, with God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? Clap your hands to him and give him a little bit of praise tonight. Hallelujah. So then, 600 plus years later, Jesus and his disciples are standing in Jerusalem and looking at the rebuilt temple. They're not looking at the temple that Solomon built. They're looking at the rebuilt temple in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel. And this has, in these days of Jesus, has been has come to be known as Herod's temple, but it was really Zerubbabel's temple. Now Jesus is speaking, and he is saying that this is amazing, fellas, but I want you to understand that not one stone's going to be left on another. Or what he's telling them is that the second diaspora, or the second scattering, is about to happen. Now, I want you to get some details on the second scattering or diaspora. So, John, if you'd give us Luke 21 and verse 24. And this is, Luke 21 is almost word for word, or it's very close to the information in Matthew chapter 24. It's the same era of teaching here. In verse 24 of Luke 21, and they, this is Jesus pronouncing a judgment against Jerusalem. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword. This is going to be Titus in 70 AD. Matter of fact, you can stand in the Colosseum at Rome, or you can stand out on the pavement by the Colosseum at Rome, and you can see the Ark of Titus right there as it was built nearly 2,000 years ago. And on the frieze, or on the face of that Ark, you can see soldiers and men plundering something, and one of them's carrying the candlesticks out of the temple. It is a testament to Titus about his ransacking of Jerusalem, and it's still on the face of the Ark of Titus in Rome today. And they're taking the Ark of the Testament and the candlesticks there out of the temple, and they recorded that for all eternity there on the face of that Ark of Triumph of Titus in Rome. Now, they're going to fall by the edge of the sword. That will be accomplished by Titus in 70 AD. And shall be led away captives into all nations. Everybody say all nations. That's why you have Polish Jews and Russian Jews and American Jews and Jews all over the world. Because the Bible said they're going to be scattered into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down or controlled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. So Jerusalem's going to be controlled by Gentile powers. And they have been for the last 2,000 years. But something strange happened in 1924, and there was a declaration that came out of Great Britain called the Balfour Declaration, and it opened up a little window for the hope of a Jewish homeland. And then in 1948, after the Great War, people's hearts were open and the Jews had been almost exterminated in Nazi Germany. And so they began to let them go out of Europe and out of Russia. And they began to come on tramp steamers and on foot and in all types of ways. They began to make their way to that little marshy area there around Tel Aviv, modern day Tel Aviv. And in 1948, the Brits pulled out. The United Nations gave Israel a little tiny section of swampland to become their homeland. And then the very next day, 50 million Arabs tried to drive them into the sea. And they had old World War I guns, and they were terribly outfitted for war, and they weren't organized for war, and they didn't know how to go to war. But when God is on your side, 50 million Arabs can drive you off of what God has said is yours. My God, is there somebody in this house tonight that God has told you this belongs to you, and the devil is trying to take it, and the world is trying to take it? I want you to bow up and say, 50 million Arabs couldn't drive me off of the promise of God. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him God is a keeper of his people. Come on. Do you believe that God never lies? That if God said it, you can forget about it? Ah, hallelujah. Anybody here got a promise from God? You stand on it. You believe in it. You get out. You walk up and down in it. You lay claim to it. In 67... the Arabs tried to drive them out again, and in 6 days, defying all military logic, there's never been anything like it ever in the history of the earth. In 6 days, Israel destroyed all of the armies of all of the Arab nations that came against them. There were reports of angels. There were reports of hundreds of Arab soldiers coming upon just a little handful of Jews. And they would come, and all of a sudden, and this happened more than once, they would drop their weapons and they would begin to cry out, "Father Abraham, Father Abraham," and they would begin to run. These are the testimonies of the soldiers that thought in one moment they were going to die, and in the next moment they saw their enemies scattered. There were pilots that told stories of strange sights in the skies. And in this war, and in the war in 73, there were instances where one lone tank would take out hundreds of Arab tanks. Impossible. Impossible. It is impossible that that little band of people have held on. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things. I may be spending a little bit of time on this, but this is the cornerstone of all biblical prophecy. Everything centers on Jerusalem. Everything centers on this promise. My friend, they are back in the land today, and Iran won't move them out of that land. I'm just telling you, you might be worried about a little nuclear exchange there between Israel and Iran. Don't worry about it. You might be worried about the rest of the world getting involved. Don't be worried about it. All of these things have been spoken by prophets in times past. They're all going to come to pass. But everything's going to be all right with God's people. Everything's going to be all you need to get over on the winning side of this thing. Everything's going to be all right. But you got to get hooked up. You've got to get tied up and tangled up. You've got to get filled up with the things of God. There's nothing stable. There's nothing safe. I'm not a doomsayer. I'm full of joy tonight. I have an irrational exuberance and joy tonight. It doesn't make any sense in a secular or a natural sense of the word, but I am very excited. You say, well, we might all die. Friend, is that a news flash to you that you're going to die? Are you just coming into that revelatory information? We need to have a long talk. How old are you? You're kind of getting on. The odds are. Don't let the devil or your natural mind fool with you about dying. Dying's not the problem. Dying without God, now that is a problem. The moment they slapped you and you started crying in that delivery room, you were on your way out. And all the elders in the house know how quickly it goes. Sometimes I'm looking back and I'm looking at all these pictures on the walls and all these baby pictures and family pictures and all these memories flood. And I think, wow, that went by in a hurry. That was fun. But you've got to get the mentality of when you're going to live forever. When you're going to live forever. It just doesn't matter. Are you with me, praise singers? All right. Okay. So Jerusalem is going to be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until when? Until the time of the Gentiles is over. What is the time of the Gentiles? It's the church age. It's now. It's where we're living on the timeline of God right now. So Jerusalem is going to be controlled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles or our present season or the church age is over. So who's in control in Jerusalem tonight? No. Literally. Jews. Jews are in control in Jerusalem. What does that mean? That means that they're no longer controlled by Gentiles. What does that mean? That means that the time of the Gentiles is over. Not in an instant just like that, but we're there. For the very first time in the last 2,000 years, all of the end time prophecy is possible because Israel is back in the land. Could not happen in the year 700. It couldn't happen in the year 1100. It couldn't happen in 15 or 1600. But any time in it, I don't know where the clock started ticking, but it started ticking either in 1948 or 1966 or 1973 or maybe 82 when they made Jerusalem the capital. But friend, we are there. They are there. There's an angel standing somewhere with a trumpet in his hand. This thing is about to wrap up. The graveyards are about to get messed up. We're about to get caught up. My God, we are right there on God's calendar. It is time. Praise God. Well, how should we live? Well, you occupy till he comes. You work hard. You study hard. You chase dreams. You build. And you just do everything you can do here with excellence because that's pleasing unto God. You don't sit down and say, I ain't doing nothing. God's coming. You don't do that. It'd be a very long study to teach you that that's not the proper attitude to have. Well, okay, so we're at the end. Now, following this in chapter 24, he gives them an overview of the calamities that are coming on the earth. And he begins in verse 3 and 4. He tells them there'll be false Christs. Don't let anybody deceive you. Verse 5, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 6, you're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars. All these things have to come to pass, but the end is not yet. Natural calamity is going to happen. It doesn't mean it's a harbinger of the coming of the Lord. Not until Jerusalem is back. But after that, when the Jews are back in the land, now you need to start looking at all these signs. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and divers. Verse 8 said, these are the beginnings of sorrows. The phrase beginning of sorrow is what they use to talk about the birth pain of a woman. And they said, you need to watch these signs because as you see these signs taking place, becoming more intense and more frequent, you know you're getting near for the woman, the delivery, but for us prophetically, the coming of the Lord. Tell me, have we had many earthquakes in the last few weeks? Have you noticed it's almost every week and it's almost always above 6.5 or 7? These things are getting more intense and they're getting more numerous. And that's exactly what the Bible predicts for you about these instances. And we're excited about it. Now, verses 9 through 14, 9 through 13, he begins to tell them what's going to happen to them in the church. You'll be delivered up, afflicted. They will kill you. You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Verse 11, false prophets will rise. They'll deceive many. You know, if you were there in that group and he was telling you about how it was going to be in the church age, I just can't see anybody waving pom-poms and being all excited. Because they're asking, well, what's it going to be like in the church? He said, everybody's going to hate you. And they're going to kill you. And a lot of people are going to be offended. And your brother's going to betray you. And people are going to turn their back on you. Don't you want to join the church? Doesn't that sound great? And that's really what the church has been and has gone through in a lot of eras. But there's another time stamp here in verse 15. In verse 15, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. There have been two abominations of desolation, and there will be a third. The first was Antiochus Epiphanes, who slew a hog on the altar in the temple during the Grecian era. The second abomination was during the siege and the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus. And the third desolation is going to be when the Antichrist moves into the temple, the rebuilt temple. And Paul says he's going to sit there as God and show himself to be God. And this verse is talking about that event. And it says, when you see that, verse 16, if you're in Israel and you see that desolation in the temple, go into the mountains. Verse 17, if you're on the rooftop, don't come down. Get out of your house. Verse 18, don't turn back if you're in the field. Don't just take your clothes and go. Verse 19, woe to those that are with child. Verse 20, pray that your flight not be in winter. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. He's talking about the abomination of desolation, and it will be the trigger for tribulation unlike anything the world has ever seen. If you want to get a glimpse of it, go back in your spare time and read Revelation chapter 16. And you'll see the tribulation period and everything that's going to take place there. Somebody say praise the Lord. Am I encouraging you or killing you here? And verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there would be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. There's a lot of discussion about what that means or exactly how that will be accomplished. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. 23, if anybody says, well, Christ is here or he's over there, he said, don't believe it. 24, there'll arise many false Christs and false prophets. And if it were possible, they would even deceive the very elect. Verse 25, he said, behold, I have told you before, or listen to me, I've already told you. Now you listen to me. There are going to be false prophets. You need to stand strong. He's telling you, you got to stand against this. 26, if they say Christ is in the desert, don't go there. If he's in the secret chambers, don't believe it. Verse 27, because this is how it's going to be. When God comes, it's not going to be a secret coming. It's not going to be a secret little event. He said it's going to be like the lightning coming out of the east that shines into the west. That's how the coming of the Son of Man is going to be. Wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Watch this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, at the end of that period we call the Great Tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble, the sun will be darkened, the moon won't give her light, the stars shall... This is where we're going, folks, and this is where we are. We are in the neighborhood right now. Don't you know it? We are just a click away from the sixth trump, which will be a nuclear exchange that kills 2 billion people on the face of the earth. The Bible says a third of men. Right now, that's about 2 billion. And it's got to be nuclear because there's nothing else that'll do that. And the description there sounds just like nuclear warheads on the end of ICBMs. And we're not going to read that, but you can. And then, everybody say, the stars shall fall from the heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then you say, and then. These cosmic signs are going to happen. You're not going to have a doubt, friend. It's not going to be something you just have a feeling about, or you're just kind of hanging out and you just have kind of an unction that this might happen. Friend, this is going to be a cosmic event. Then shall the sign of the Son of Man appear in heaven. Then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. How do you know that's going to happen? Because Israel is back in the land. How do you know that's going to happen? Because he brought them back twice. He said he would do it, and he did it. How do you know he's coming back? Because it's right here in the Word of God. Touch your neighbor and tell him he's coming back. And it's not going to be some quiet, simple ceremony. Now, watch what happens when he comes back. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Have you heard Paul say that at the last trump? Did you hear him say, and the trump shall sound? And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trump, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's the rapture of the church of the living God. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet shall sound. God himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And there shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm kind of morphing Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, but it's okay. Praise God. Prime Minister of Israel was in our country this week. It's been on every newspaper headline. It's been in the mouth of every news commentator. It's prophecy. And God is having worldly, secular figures pronounce prophecy fulfilled in the earth. And there won't be anybody that stands at the judgment of God that has a legitimate reason to say, I didn't know. I just didn't know. What do you mean you didn't know? It's been in my book all this time. What do you mean you didn't know? Didn't you see Israel back in the land? Didn't you see the earthquakes and the tsunamis and the... Didn't you see all that? He's coming back. Let me tell you what I felt today in the Holy Ghost. Let's stand together. Help me. I felt something in the Holy Ghost today, and we're just going to do it. We have about 3 Sundays until Brother Clark comes back. And as I was reading this, I thought, and that statistic on how many people are looking for economic collapse blew my mind today. And I thought, we got to give these folks some relief. We got to give them some hope. We need to tell them God's about to come. So I talked to Sister Linda. And I'm going to get her to make some flyers. And for the next 3 Sundays, especially Sunday morning, we're going to cover prophetic topics like the coming of the Lord, the rapture, the battle of Armageddon, the mark of the beast, the Antichrist system, and all those things. So what I want you to do tomorrow at school or at work, I want you to go to someone and I want you to say, did you know Jesus is about to come? You believe that? We're going to be talking about that at our church this week. On Sunday morning. And on Sunday, Easter Sunday, we're going to talk about the rapture. We're going to talk about the resurrection. And we're going to talk about the rapture. And I'm going to talk to you, and I'm just going to show you that the church is going to go through the whole 7 years. We're going to be here for the whole trip. And if you don't believe that and you're expecting to leave early, that won't hurt my feelings at all. If we leave 5 years early, it will not break my heart. But I want you to be prepared in your spirit. I don't want you to think you're going to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and all of a sudden, phew. just before he comes, you're going to have an opportunity to prove to hell and everybody around you that you love him more than you love anything else. We are they upon whom the ends of the age have come. Listen to me. He's in our midst right now. You do not want him to say to you what he said to Israel. You don't want him to say, I've talked to you, I've pled with you, I've led you, I've worked with you, but now your house is left to you desolate. You won't see me again until you see me coming in the clouds of glory. You don't want to hear that tonight. You want to be right. I know we've already had 40 altar calls in this service. But I wouldn't leave this place tonight without being filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. What I'd like for us to do is, I'd like for us as families, we have a lot of our children over in the other building in classes, but I'd like for you as families to come down around the altar tonight. And if you don't have family here, adopt somebody, get with somebody, and come down to this altar. Make some room. There's a traffic jam in the middle aisle. I feel Holy Ghost all over this house tonight. I want you to hear something tonight. Do you enjoy hearing prophecy? Dustin, can you give us 24 and 14 in Matthew? And Jesus said, and this is going to be one of those signs. And the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached where? In all the world for a witness. And then what? And then the end will come. Do you, how many of you remember when Brother Talmage French was in the pulpit just a few months ago? Have you read his book? You know what his master's thesis was? That university there in Birmingham, England, sent him all over the world. They were extremely interested in the phenomenon of Pentecost and the oneness movement in particular. Those wild-eyed holy rollers baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. They sent him to Iceland. They sent him to Tibet. This is his thesis work. Do you know what it documents? That the gospel has been preached in every, there is an apostolic church in every nation on the face of the earth. Israel is in the land. The gospel has been preached in every nation. And he said, now, the end couldn't have come just any time. The end is spelled out in very specific terms in the Word of God. And friend of mine, we are at the end. And you know what else he says? He says, in the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. My God, we are in store for the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost the world has ever seen. I want you to gather there with your family or perhaps your friends tonight, and I want you to just pray for one another. But before you start, I want you to tell them, every one of them, look them in the eye and tell them, we are there, the end is here, we're going to do a great work for the kingdom of God. Touch somebody by you and tell them, nothing is impossible. Israel is back in the land. My God, lay your hands on them and pray for them tonight. Lay your hands on your family tonight and pray.